Welcome to the Energetic Radio Podcast. My name is Dale Sowerbottom. Each week, I'll bring you inspirational guests who will help you bring fun, energy, and purpose into your lives. Let the show begin.
Welcome to episode number 331 with Daniela Falecki. Now, if you are looking for energy and inspiration and somebody just doing wonderful things in the well-being space, Daniela is the one. It's so nice when you talk to people that do a similar thing than what you do. You know, we both get on stages and we help people improve their mental and physical well-being through connection, through fun, building relationships. And I love it when I get to interview people like this and share absolute wisdom bombs like you're going to get today. So sit back and enjoy this one. It is a beauty.
And a big part of my messaging for educators around the globe is that you're a human being, not a human doing. And we get so caught up in this robot mode of professionalism. We go, oh, we're professional. No, actually, you're not a machine. You're a human being that thinks, feels, and responds, and you're actually allowed to think, feel, and respond. And sometimes we feel so victimized by things happening to us because the speed of change is so high, but actually giving people an opportunity to say, hang on a second, you're not a tree. You're not stuck. You have choices here. It's okay. And it begins with how I think, feel, and respond. And just reminding people that you are a holistic person. But I'm an absolute advocate, a big believer in Steiner education, the stories, that the art, the craft. But it's not just, I mean, I say the hippie stuff. It's not hippie. Yeah. Rudolf Steiner himself was actually quite an autocrat, wore black suits. A phenomenal journey, absolutely.
And I think, like you were just saying there, like it does come across as hippie, and I think that's because people, they don't understand it. And too often, you know, instead of being probably curious about maybe looking into it and what it is, they sort of become judgmental, or it's not what they're doing, so it may be the wrong thing. This was not going to be about me, but I still remember my first day of year seven, I got out my Lyra pencils and my crayons, and I started colouring in, and I'm still embarrassed this today. And my teacher's like, what are you doing? I said, yeah, but you've got to colour it in. I'm not happy just with the blank page. And I said, I've never written with a pen before. And they must have looked at me like I was a freak.
I love all that. See, I was doing all – I never went to a Steiner school as a child. I went to, you know, state schools. But all of my work through all the way up, including to year 12, doing my HSC, I would colour in everything. So I think I was innately, naturally a Steiner child anyway. So it was perfect for me to become a Steiner teacher. But what I see now and hear now is I'm using a lot of those philosophies and a lot of those principles to really help teachers who are struggling at the moment. But I just want to come back to one thing that you already said, which is that I keep talking about teacher stuff, but I'm really talking about the human being because we're so tough on ourselves and our inner critic is so loud. And often, you know, my space is going into schools, but often principals will say, oh, can our non-teaching staff come too? And I'm like, absolutely.
100%.
We're talking about the human being. We're talking about us as energy beings, where the energy that sustains us and the energy that drains us, being aware of it and knowing what it is, because it's different things for different people.
And I think too often we're human doings. We're doing work, we're doing meetings, we're doing planning. That's not actually what we need to be doing. And it doesn't matter what profession you're in. I can guarantee if people listening that aren't teachers, I bet they're nodding along right now.
And I say, where are you running to? Like the job's never finished. I say, where are you running? Well, I've just got to. I say, well, actually, you've just got to stop. That's what you've just got to do. And I said, no, there's no finish line. And I sort of think, I don't know if that's exciting or depressing, but there is no finish line, but we rush. We get caught up in this busyness. And as the more we get caught up in this busyness, the more we lose a connection with ourselves and others. Mm. And I think if the last 3 years has taught us anything, it's really – This concept of what we're craving is connection before content. And I know Chad Littlefield does a lot of work in this space, and his mantra is connection before content. So as messages to educators, messages to people in workplaces, people don't care about your meeting. They don't care about your agenda. What they want is opportunities for connection, which requires time to sit, reflect and have a meaningful conversation that's not a whinging, bitching conversation.
Because that's not productive. That's
no.
venting. That doesn't actually totally. Help you. It doesn't help the person that you've just unloaded onto that their ears are probably bleeding. They're like, well, yeah. I didn't need to hear that. That's not productive one little bit at all. One of the things that I talk about Connect Support content all the time, I love this stuff. It's like resonating with me so much, Daniela. Why don't we start every meeting or every interaction with some form of connection starter, something and not an icebreaker? I never call them icebreakers because everybody's had horrible experiences with icebreakers because too often the limelight's on one person and actually defeats the purpose of what you're trying to do and make people feel comfortable. So I call them ice makers. Horrible. Never label it. But why don't we take the time, 2 or 3 minutes? I know everyone says we're time poor. 2 or 3 minutes to start every meeting with, as you just said, to have a meaningful, powerful conversation sets the tone. And this can be done not at schools, but everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. I like to call them, I like to bookend meetings. So we start a meeting with, for example, I'll give a couple of different ideas. I like to start a meeting with a recreational whinge because sometimes, you know, the venting is important. There is stuff that is really frustrating. And if I don't let it out, then I become a little pressure cooker. But with a recreational whinge, I have a 2 minute egg timer and I turn the egg timer over and we all whinge and vent at the same time because look, the reality is no one's listening to you anyway because everyone's got the same issues probably. So, but when the egg timer finishes, you stop because meeting time is not your venting time or your therapy time. You need to respect people's time. And then we go through the agenda items, blah, 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 blah. And then we finish the meeting. Everyone goes around the circle and shares what's one thing that went well for you today or one thing that went well for you this week. So we're bookending the venting with a what went well. Other things that I have, and people are welcome to go to the website if they're interested, and these are not just for teachers. There's a lot of different resources that I've created. The website's at teacher-wellbeing.com.au. And I created chat box cards, well-being box cards, and connect box cards. And what they are is a set of 30, 40, 50, depending which cards you get. And each card has a question, and it's a conversation starter. And what I do is I get people to be in pairs. They pick a card, whatever random card they get, and they both have to answer that card for 1 minute. Some of the well-being box cards are based on cognitive, social, emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being questions. The connect box cards are based on what if you were running for politics, what would be your slogan? What if you were going to be a character in a book, which character would you be? What if you were going to describe yourself as an animal, which animal would you be and why? And they're just, the idea of them is to be diffusing, to be playful, to be joyful, and to create what Professor Jane Dutton calls high quality connections, which is a 5 minute energized connection, which through her work, through Michigan University and the Organization of Positive Scholarship, has identified that a 5 minute high energizing conversation can sustain us for the bumps in the road for the rest of the day. So they have a buffering and bolstering purpose as well. So these 5 minute connections are crucial to help us actually be more productive, more purposeful, feel more appreciated and actually enjoy our work more.
I love that. And I've got similar, but I use a dice because that's randomized. But it's exactly the same as, you know, when you turn something into a game, people of all ages forget what they're doing. And essentially what you're doing is you're picking a random card. It's not like everybody's doing the same question. So straight away, it changes the dynamic. It makes it, you know, it's fun. It's exciting. Wonder what I'm going to get. And it allows people to go a little bit deeper. And it's so simple, but that's so powerful, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think it's really important to give people something to talk about. We can't just say, oh, connect with someone and just have a chat about what you did on the weekend.
Yuck, ice maker.
A bit more constructive.
Yes.
Yeah, because you're forcing people to be vulnerable and keeping in mind that potentially half of your team are going to be extroverts and half of your team are going to be introverts. So for the introverts, that's going to be extremely confronting. And if we talk about psychological safety in the workplace, that's what not to do.
100%. And I think the big key, and this is one thing I mention all the time, is you're only working in pairs, and it's so crucial. You should never, ever do full group activities like this where the limelight's on one person. In pairs, they feel safe, and they've also got nowhere to hide. And so you can't just sit at the back and not be involved, because then your partner's going to be like, what am I going to do? But nobody else is looking at you. You're not writing it down. You're simply sharing it. So that vulnerability, it's only with one person. That connection goes deeper. It's so powerful, isn't it? Why don't we do just about everything or more to start with in pairs? Like, you know, from everything you've said, Danielle, that's exactly what you do. I do the same. It works.
It does. It does. And what it also does is it shows people different perspectives, because one of the other things I like to do when I am working with people, like I'm working with whole staff, so whether it be 30 people in an organization, and I think the largest I've done is up to 300 in an organization all at the same time. But it's mixing up the pairs. That's what I think is powerful. I find it astonishing when I go into an organization and a couple of people have been at the same place for 10 years and never had a conversation. And I think, oh my goodness, you're missing out on all this gold, all this incredible stuff that is inside your organization. The main well-being at work is not doing more stuff. It's unlocking the magic that already exists. It's not about adding to our workload. It's exploring the incredible resources we already have, both inside our own mind and the people around us. But we don't get the opportunities to have these connections. And it's these connections that shift our perspective, help us feel more energized, but giving people opportunities to do it more often, I think, is just so valuable.